Let's pray. Let's pray together. Lord, bless this moment as we reflect on this passage. Speak to us, Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a funny story about a minister who liked telling stories to children. He generally invites people to come forward and telling them to sit in the front and say, "Hey, I'm going to tell you a story." That was as usual. Every week, he brings the children forward and tells them a story. He went out to tell a story like this. "Boys and girls, I want to tell you a story about someone who likes to live in the woods. But sometimes we can see them in the garden, in our garden. He has a big bushy tail and likes to eat nuts." And then said, "Does anyone have any idea what I am talking about?" For his surprise, nobody puts their hands up. So he tried to explain it a bit further. He said, "I am talking about a creature that lives in the woods, sometimes in our garden. It has a big bushy tail, eats nuts, and likes to climb trees, one tree to the another. Now, does anybody know what I am talking about?" Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. And then he asked one child, reluctantly puts her hands up. He was so pleased. But the child puts her hands up to take his misery out of it. The minister said, "Do you know what I'm thinking about?" The child said, "Yeah, I know the answer should be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me." Yeah, answer should be Jesus. Well, we heard this story before about this Jesus transforming this ordinary water into extraordinary wine. We heard it in our Sunday school. In fact, lots of people like this story because it's turned into wine things, especially my cricket people saying, "I like to come to church if that happens now." But not many would get this true reality and the meaning of this picture connected with our daily lives. How does that connect with our daily lives, this water turning into extraordinary wine? Let me give you a little bit of background of this story, how John, because after the book of Psalms, the book of John, the John's Gospel is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Because I like the way he writes it. I like the way he structures is the whole book. Like a sermon, he writes it. And I love it. And also, it's not the way he presents the Gospel is, he doesn't stay in between. He says whether you are with God or you are against God. There is no in-between when he tells the story or the whole gospel. Either you are with God and grow and produce fruits or you are against God. That's how he always comes out with this John's gospel. That's why I love it, the way he brings out. And every story he tells us, it has got a meaning behind it. And that's what the John's gospel tells. And this particular story, because we know we have our gospel, Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and John. None of them mentioned about this story except John. This story, this is the first ever miracle that Jesus performed. The very first one. And none of the gospel were want to record it, or maybe they just ignored it. I don't know. They didn't think it's worth recording. Because they were much more impressed with big miracles, big things. But they're not one included this little, this water turn into wine things. They were interested with the healings and the exorcism and all those things. And it's very interesting the way he started the story is the third day. He says, the third day he performed this. He went into this place the third day. Because he always, there is a meaning for everything that he says. We know third day is always a special in biblical knowledge. Third day, because Jonah in the whale that he stayed for three days. And obviously Jesus is the third day that something happens, extraordinary happens on the third day. So he starts off with something a special, this story. It has got a special meaning that you never come across. This third day transformation. And interestingly, Mary went to him and said, when the banquet was happening and the wine runs out, Mary went to him and saying, hey, my son, do something for it. I don't know what she was thinking that he would do, but she was expecting him to do something. Yeah, and I don't think she would have expected like he's going to turn the water into wine, but he would have said, can you do something? Yeah, he would have said that. But again, this is, nobody had any idea that Jesus could do miracles at this point. This is the very first time Jesus revealed himself, who he is, in a way he can perform miracle, and the purpose that he came to this world. And because he says like he came, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the reason. That's the reason that John explicitly puts it that way. I have come so that you can live a life to the full and abundantly. Last week, anyone remembers what the message was? After all, I try my best to remember. Last week, nobody remembers? I'm sure that somebody reminded me of the sermon last week, yesterday. So I know some of them are listening. But does anybody remember? Do you know you are going to pantomime this afternoon? Yes. See, you remember that one, didn't you? Anne remembers that pantomime. Do you know what the football scored tomorrow, yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah? Did Arsenal lose?
No, they drew.
Yesterday, last week we were looking at living life again. God wants us to bear fruits. Not just fruits, more fruits. Abundant fruits. Maximize our fruits. And the similar passage and similar pattern. God not just wants you to live a life, but life to the full. Abundantly. And that's the message you're trying to bring it out. And that's the reason that he came into this world to give that message. I don't want just to live and survive in this world, but live like overcomers. Live like that you are the person that who follows the God who gives abundant life. And that's what he says. Jesus takes things, something ordinary, and turned into extraordinary. And he didn't, when Mary asked him to do something, and he didn't do straight away, did he? He said, my time hasn't come yet, lady. Let me do it in my own time. He often says that things, like even when they asked, can you sort out the official's son was ill, and he says, can you heal my son? My time hasn't come yet. And then he does it anyway. And they were asking about the Lazarus. Again, my time hasn't come yet. And then he does it in his own time, in his own way. He delays it often to the point that increase your faith. When the delay comes in, when it feels like, Lord, why don't you do something for me now? And often delays it, but yet he does it, but in his own way, where it can increase your faith, a further development of your faith. And that's why I think this story, it just brings out when this miracle happened. It says, John's Gospel finishes off with the story saying, and the disciples put their faith in him. Because that's the reason that it says. Any miracles happens, and that meant to increase your faith. And here, Jesus performing this miracle in a way, and it's a very private miracle. It wasn't a great, big, feeding the 5,000 miracle-like. Or even raising the Lazarus, raising the dead Lazarus, coming back alive, miracle like that. It was something subtle. Not many people know this was a miracle. Not many people knew that this was a miracle. Only the servants who served knew that it's come from Jesus. All they puzzled. They said, oh, normally people serve this food early on, this wine, who tasty wine, but you kept it very late. That's all, even the master didn't knew. All he knew that it was different. Only the servants knew. But many knew that something good, tasty wine came out. But nobody knew that it came from Jesus. Only small little things people knew. Not only just God did have performed a miracle, but revealed his glory. And just thought, I always puzzled, if God is going to start a big ministry, you know, he's a son of God come into this world, first bang, you know, he would start like this, so that opens everybody's mind like this, boom. But why did he choose to do something subtle? Not many people know. He didn't declare himself, I'm here to change everything upside down. He didn't do that. He was very subtle in a way, and not majority of the people didn't know that God changed this water into wine. You see, this is the God that likes to work with the ordinary life. He is a God that who wants to be part of your daily life. He doesn't want to just kind of like a Sunday morning service Christians. He wants you to take his presence with you in your school, in your college, in your workplace, part of your ordinary things. You know, we hear about the children's story about the saint of little things, because he wants to be part of the little things that you do that can reveal God's glory. And that's a transformation. You know, what we know what transformation is, generally we think the transformation is something opposite. One bad thing to good. Yeah? It's like a Beauty and the Beast. The ugly turn into beautiful. You know? That's like a transformation. Or something like an unrecognizable caterpillar turns into a beautiful butterfly. That's another big transformation. Or if you look at, if you are good at watching the Transformers films, yeah, a car turned into big robot. Something can do, transform things. That's a transformation that we understand. And God can transform people like that. He turns ugly situation into something beautiful. Brings, fulfill his purpose. It is true that God can just transform people in so many different ways. God can take us when we are crawling along our bellies on the floor. He can give us wings to fly. And he does that, transforms like that. God just takes the broken pieces and put together, makes us a beautiful vessel or to be used. God can do that. He transforms in that way. He can provide the way where we can't see the way at all. And he does transforms that way. But in this story, it's not talking about that big transformation. There's another form of transformation that he brings out in the place Cana. The object of transformation is something that is already good, but making it better. That is already good is the water, right? Water is a substantial, is a good, something good. It's pure, it's everyday life things. Water, that we can't live without water, right? That's something that every day that we use. But God doesn't just want to use it, existence as an everyday thing. He wanted to make it better. He infused something texture into that water, something color, something tasty, something not just boring, something flavorful that you desire for. I think that's what God does into our life. Not many of you here are prodigal sons. I mean, maybe we were a little bit. We haven't murdered anybody so far. We haven't been to jail for a long period of time. Or we haven't done the big mistakes that what we call is a mistakes. But sometime that we just subtle, just go along with the way. We are good. We don't lie too many times. But once in a while, you know, those are the things that we do. But these are the times, sometimes our Christianity, somebody I was talking this last week, so said, you know, sometimes Christianity can be very boring. Christianity, going to church, do the things that you want, listen to the song somebody's singing, and then listen to the preacher that was just on and on and on about something else, and I never remember next week, you know. And then it just goes around that way. And it gets boring and go deeper and deeper and there is no life into it. It's just a boring water. But when God comes into that, it gives a texture. When it takes it that it just puts you into on your toes, it says, hey, I turned something ordinary into extraordinary in our lives. That means wherever you go, people notice you. People notice you, think, hey, this is something different. Something extraordinary. People who will never sit next to you in your bus. People who just stand next to you, they started to see something different. And that's what happens when God transforms his people. Even though there is no fixing need for the water, but he turned into something special. That doesn't mean that God promises only the material wealth. I'm not just here, it's like, okay, life abundance means that you never had to go through the problems, you never had to go for a lack of food, or never had to go through this kind of hurts. It doesn't mean a life is free of pain and suffering. But it does mean when the water of our lives becomes wine through the touch of our Master, even the worst circumstances that life can possess, that the life can offer, can possess a richness and a depth that never possessed before. That's what happens. Even the worst circumstances, the life just throw at us, God can bring something good and reveal his glory. And that's what it is. Even the worst circumstances. And that's a God that we are worshiping here today. He can change things. Even within the worst, at depth of your bottom there, he can bring something good. And transforms something. And it reveals, more than anything, reveals glory. In that wedding at Cana, lots of people may have seen the water into wine things. They saw the wine, but not many saw the glory. Only the disciples saw the glory. And they put their faith in him. See, many might have seen that. It's like, yeah, that's a good, maybe it's a coincidence. They would have seen it as a coincidence. Only the disciples saw it's a God incidence. And saw the glory. If you open your eyes, even the small things that you do within the church or within the community, God reveals his glory. And it increases your faith Sometimes we think, I'm doing normal. I'm just only putting the chair back in the church. Or I just do in the weekdays, sweep the floor. Or I just clean the toilet sometime. I just weekly rota. Sometime once in a while, monthly rota, I go in. Nobody notice. But this is the things. God noticed that ordinary things and transform it and he reveals his glory. He touched people's life. You see, I love visiting people during the week because, you know, my cricket friends always tells me, oh, your job is just a once a day week, you know, one day a week job. Actually, you know, the main job for me is during the week I visit people and they inspire me with the stories. One person that I was watching them sharing the story, that person told me, you know, she recently lost her daughter. And it was a very painful experience for her. And at a young age, she lost her daughter. And she doesn't know why. And her friends were just saying, why you still trust in God who took away your daughter in a very young age? You know, that's a question that people asked her. But that person told me, actually, in that worst circumstances, I experienced God. But not nobody knows that. Only I knew. Me and my husband experienced that. We don't know the answer for this, but we experienced God's presence vividly, they told me. And not only that, after a few years gone, now I do my ordinary stuff. Go to shop and sit with people and talk to people. And there was one instance God brought somebody who are going through the similar incidents like me. I know she was dying, she was worried about her husband. And say, without I'd been through, I wouldn't have been able to share with that person and comfort that particular person. Eventually she died, but still connect with that husband and she prayed for that family and that place. And I just sometimes I think, the worst circumstances like that, God uses you in ordinary life to turn that water into something special wine. To bring that texture into their life. Because until then, they wouldn't have been able to relate with the story. You know what I mean? Because that's what in our situation too. There are times when we go through the difficult times, God uses those difficult times to encourage that person that come along in your ordinary lives. And that was true. That will be true. Don't think that I just carry the water. But that carry the water change into texture when God infuses. But as long as you are faithful, trust the Lord, open your eyes to see things where God is at. Don't just leave God's presence in this room and go back home, because that's what sometimes happens. We have two different masks that we do. When we come to church, we look holy, put the collars on, put the suit on, just look so holy. And then as soon as you went back to home, back to normal. You carry that presence with you. And that's where God changes that water into wine. Not mask, most of them not in the church, but into your house, in your kitchen, in your workplace, in your library, or wherever, in your coffee shop. That's where God changes that water into wine. And I want you to open your eyes this year. Lord, I am such an ordinary person. I am incapable of doing great things. Maybe I'm not here to stand and preach here, but I want to carry on this ordinary stuff that you asked me to do. And I want to use that water into something best wine. Not just wine, but the best wine. God transforms it. That's what we started off this service like. Small things reveals God's glory in a big way. When people see you, do people see your religion as something that turns water into best wine? Or does it look more like turning wine into water? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Do they see Jesus in you when they see that's a God that you worship who can turn that ordinary water into best wine? Or is that the way around? That's a challenge for us. But God can do that. And we just need to be faithful in small little things. God used that empty jars. The stand there stood there for just ceremonial cleaning. But he used that as a something best possible outcome can come out of that ordinary, normal, daily things. And God can use you too. Be faithful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that in little things, in this little story, in this little miracle, it's not packed with a persuasive power, but it is driven by a humble act of service that you chose to reveal your glory. Lord, I pray for the people who are in the background, who does this, makes this service happens. Cleaning the floor, locking the doors, doing the sound or music and anything, or praying at home. And also people who carry your presence to their holiday, to their work, to the place wherever you call them to be. Lord, I pray, help us to be the people who carry the God that who turns our ordinary water into extraordinary wine. Touch our lives once again. Touch the people who are here, who are feeling inadequate, who are feeling broken, who are in need of transformation in their life. I pray, Lord, you touch them with that transforming power. And you pick them up from the floor. Reassure them that nothing is impossible in you. Jesus, touch the broken lives of the people here. You mold them once again into beautiful pot that can be used to serve your best wine for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.